Eddie Kingston makes his TNT debut tonight. I'm a sucker for a good Falls Count Anywhere match. And Sammy Guevara is back. And not a moment too soon. Let's talk about Dynamite. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. I am the Solid Monster, and I want to thank every single one of you for joining me and picking me for your Dynamite recap here tonight, live on YouTube. And this was, I thought, one of the best episodes of Dynamite they've had in a while. I mean, we've had some pretty good episodes, but tonight just felt as different vibe to tonight's show, different energy to tonight's show. And from top to bottom, I thought it was a kick-ass show. And it opened with one of the best parts of the entire show, which was Cody defending the TNT Championship. It is the TNT, the Cody Rhodes TNT Open Challenge. And so he was out first. He was in the ring. Who's his opponent going to be? They've been hyping this up all week long. It's a big independent wrestler, a big independent name. Who's it going to be? All this talk about that Warhorse guy. Now, before this week, I hadn't even really heard much about Warhorse. Like, oh, I got to check out this Warhorse guy. Looks like somebody took the Ultimate Warrior and put him on the Atkins diet, and out pop Warhorse. And you know what? We may see Warhorse one day, but not tonight. Tonight was not the night for Warhorse. Oh, no. Tonight was the night for a big independent name, but it was not the flavor of the month. It was not some new up-and-comer. Quite the opposite. It was somebody who has, how many years has he been in the business? It's got to be over 20 years. One of the big ring veterans of the independent scene. They get no bigger than Eddie Kingston. They get no bigger and no more tenured than Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston came out to accept the open challenge. Eddie Kingston is one of the best promos in all of wrestling. He's probably been that way for a long time. But even after all these years, Eddie Kingston comes out, he spits fire, he does what he does best. And look, you know, Eddie Kingston, I knew who Eddie Kingston was. I was familiar with him. Didn't get to see a lot of him, though, just because I wasn't, you know, watching a lot of the independent products that he was part of, you know, back in the day. So I'd have limited exposure to him. But he has been one of the joys about watching that NWA Power show. And I hope we get more of him on NWA Power, assuming there is more NWA Power. You know, Billy Corgan says there will be, but I guess you never really know. But he has been one of the highlights of that show. And not even necessarily in the ring. But when he comes out and he gets a microphone in his hand, there is nobody better in wrestling right now than Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston is on another level from everybody else. So he comes out here and, you know, he's cutting a promo on Cody, and he's got that fire and that passion. I think that's the biggest thing about what he says. He is one of he's part of like a rare breed that when he comes out and he starts talking, it doesn't sound like he's cutting a wrestling promo. You know, he comes out here, he's telling Cody about, you know, you talk about grinding. I grew up around alcoholics and I grew up around junkies. And that's grinding, and he's kind of going into his own history and his own life and all of his trials and tribulations. But when he's cutting a promo, you believe it. And that's a gift that not everybody has, you know, especially whether it's WWE or any promotion, really. You know, a lot of times it just sounds like, all right, they're here cutting a wrestling promo or they're trying to memorize their lines. He has a certain fire in his voice, a certain passion that just comes across as so genuine. And that, to me, is one of the biggest reasons why he is one of the best promos in all of wrestling. See, he was out there, and as Vibes by Luxury said, it's part of that New York talk. Yeah, he's a New York guy, so he's got that attitude about him. He's just, there's a certain genuineness to what he says. So he's trying to get under Cody's skin, and you know, he wants a no DQ match, and I think he called Cody an egg-sucking dog, or I'm going to make you an egg-sucking bitch, you know, kind of a play off the old Terry Funk promos. So Cody accepts, you know, whatever he was doing mind games-wise, it worked. And these two just went into it. This was just a brawl, really, is what this was. I mean, that's what Eddie Kingston does. Eddie Kingston is not known for his technical ability. He goes in there, he punches, he kicks, he cheats, he scratches and he chops, and that's what he does. And that's really what this match was. He whipped Cody at one point with his own weight belt, threw it up into the air. He exposed the concrete floor, and he was going to give Cody a pile driver on the concrete. Cody reversed it into a backdrop. So they're trading strikes back and forth. And Cody's going after the left leg, and Kingston is selling his knee. So we get to the point in the match where Kingston goes underneath the ring, and he finds a sack. Now, we've been conditioned to know what's inside the sack. It's not really much of a surprise. He brings the sack into the ring, and of course, out come all the thumbtacks. And now the ring is completely littered with thumbtacks. Now, I'm thinking at this point, all right, this is Eddie Kingston's big opportunity, right, to be on TNT. I don't know if the show was live tonight. I don't believe it was, but let's call it live TV. He's on live TV in front of hundreds of thousands of people, which is the biggest audience probably that he's been in front of maybe in his entire life. He's going to go out there and he's going to deliver as best he can. You know, he's not a young man anymore. He can only do what he can do, but he's going to take a bump on the thumbtacks. And I'm like, all right, well, he's going to get slammed or he's going to get backdropped. I was not expecting Cody to be the one to take the big bump on the thumbtacks. Now, I don't know if Cody feels like he has to do this because he's trying to prove I can do all of these different styles. I don't know what he's out there trying to prove. But Eddie Kingston gave Cody a power bomb straight down onto the thumbtacks. And Cody came up and his back is just sticking with tacks and he's bleeding. I know some people are desensitized to it, but the thumbtacks still get to me. Thumbtacks and barbed wire, not really a big fan. Sheeta was at ringside, and Sheeta is in the front row, and she looks mortified. She got her hand over her mouth. You know, they're all, the Sunny Kiss, they're all out there. They're selling it like it's the most horrific thing they've ever seen. So now it fires up Cody even more. Now he's pissed. He's smacking Eddie Kingston. Eddie's smacking him. You got a slap fight going on between these two. And the finish comes when Cody locks him in the figure four in the tacks. Now, remember, he was working over the knee. So, psychologically, it made sense. And Eddie has no choice but to tap out. It's a win for Cody. You know, again, I'm not a fan, really, of the thumbtack stuff. I'm not a fan when they do it in WWE. I'm not a fan when Abyss would do it all the time in Impact. It's just, yeah, it's not my thing, but it was a big spot. Look, I thought this match rocked. I loved it. You know, that aside, I mean, I thought this was great. I thought it was cool as hell to see Eddie Kingston out there doing his thing. You know, these guys had a fight. And Eddie Kingston gets his big moment. I don't know if it's going to be his only moment. I don't know if they're going to bring him back. I don't know what his contract situation is with the NWA. As far as I know, he's still under contract. But even if just for one night, I thought this was cool as hell. And good for him. Good for him. It's a cool moment for him. And Cody is out of his mind for taking that bump. I don't think that was really something he had to do, but I guess he felt he had to prove something to someone somewhere. Let me run through some of these super chats here because they were coming in before we even went live. Those are the diehards. Jackalope Music, thank you. Good to hear from you. Rican Sun, the birthday boy. The birthday boy here is in the chat. Thoughts on Strowman missing for 6 weeks right before the season starts. Yeah, he's talking about Marcus, not Braun. See, I'd rather it be Braun Strowman missing 6 weeks and not Marcus Strowman. He's talking about the Mets. People don't care about the Mets. It's the Mets. What do you expect? I was waiting. I was looking at my watch, just counting down the hours, waiting until the first injury report came in. Am I surprised? No. I am not surprised. MJF against Griff Garrison, the Ivy League MVP. You know, I don't watch AEW Dark every single week, but I've watched enough of it many weeks ago. And actually, I think it's happened more than once. We've seen Griff Garrison on AEW Dark. And Taz will make fun of the fact that this guy has Ivy League MVP on his Tron, and you know, it's his nickname. But I don't believe he's actually gone to an Ivy League school. And yet he calls himself the Ivy League MVP. And it's like me coming out and saying that I went to, you know, if I had a gimmick like Harvard Chris, remember Chris Nowinski back in the day before he got the concussions? And I talked about what a great Ivy League education I got, you know, but I went to Hofstra. It's like, you know, it's a good school, but, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So MJF is in the ring with him and making fun of him. Calls him Jungle Man. He does kind of look a little bit like Jungle Boy, a little bit bigger. He's mocking him, and, you know, Griff says, didn't you lose a tag team match at Fyter Fest? Because you know, MJF is talking about how he's undefeated. Which, as a single, he is, but he did, in fact, take the loss in the tag match at Fyter Fest, and MJF says, well, that's a very good point, and then he attacks him. So this was just MJF toying with the guy. He had a mic in his hand the whole time. He pulled a Jerry Lawler. He was doing commentary during his own match. And he tells Griff. Who's their kid Griff? Sounds like a dog. Am I thinking of like a cartoon dog? Who am I thinking of? Is it like a crime dog, right? Is it Griff or McGruff or something? I don't know. Somebody in the chat will remind me. But he wants Griff to tell him that he is undefeated. And Griff won't do it, and he's beating him up. Say that I'm undefeated. I want to hear you say the words. And Griff finally says it, and then Griff knocks the microphone back up into his face. He got a good near fall out of it. I thought we might get a 1-2-3 kid moment here where he hands MJF his first singles loss, but he kicked out. And MJF hit the Heat Seeker pile driver for the win. So this was just... No, just pretty much a squash for him, just to get him on the show. Fred McGriff. Boy, Fred McGriff, wasn't he a baseball player? Are you sure about that? Was the character's name McGruff? Okay. I don't know. I got different people telling me it's Fred McGriff. I thought Fred McGriff was a baseball player. Maybe he was a cartoon dog as well. Could have been. Now, earlier in the day, Tony Schiavone was with Reba, or Rebel. Britt Baker still won't let her say her name. So they're talking to Britt Baker, and Britt Baker is talking about her fourth rule of being a role model. She's talking about her fourth rule of being a role model, which is to never count out a role model. Never count out a role model. And she says that she was going to make a great comeback. You know, she talked about the nose injury that she sustained. And she talked about Michael Jordan, and she's comparing her comeback to the comeback that Jordan had with the Washington Wizards. And her poor, fractured, fragile nose. You know, Britt Baker, she's always getting hurt. You know, she's always coming down with some kind of injury. The big news here, well, twofold. Number one, she called herself Michael Jordan. Well, the big news there is now I'm waiting until tomorrow morning when certain wrestling news websites are going to run with the headline, Adam Cole dating Michael Jordan. You know what websites I'm talking about, the ones that you all should stay away from. She calls herself Michael Jordan, but the bigger news here is she says, don't count me out until All Out. She said especially or particularly at All Out. So now we have a return date for Britt Baker. And I said, you know, last couple weeks, I said, we're right in that time frame where she should be physically able to come back. She should be cleared. Now, for all we know, she may already be cleared, but they're going to save her comeback, I guess, for All Out, which is Labor Day weekend. So, you know, makes sense. Time-wise, it makes sense. And it'll be good to get her back in the, you know, in the ring. Because we need some more faces for Sheeta. We got it. And I'm going to talk about the women here in a second because they made another big announcement on the show. Relative to the women. So I will be talking about that. Now, on AEW Dark, in recent weeks, we've had Taz talking up Ricky Starks. He's had a lot of good things to say about Ricky Starks. And on this week's show, they shot a big angle. Ricky Starks, earlier in the show, he won a match. Later on in the show, Darby Allin made his in-ring return. I believe it was Darby's first match back since Double or Nothing. I believe this was his first official match back on Dark this week. He beats Robert Anthony, match is over. Brian Cage comes out, and he attacks Darby. And he powerbombs Darby on the... Actually, no, that was tonight. He attacks Darby. Robert Anthony tries to intervene, right? I'm mixing up last night and tonight. Robert Anthony tries to intervene. Ricky Starks takes him out. And I don't mean he takes him out for dinner. I mean he takes him out. And then he gets into the ring, and he actually assists Brian Cage in laying a beatdown on Darby Allin. And then Ricky Starks and Brian Cage are fist bumping, and Taz is talking about how he's going to, you know, talk more about what this all means on Dynamite tomorrow night. So that was what led into the segment that you saw on the show here tonight. Taz and Brian Cage come out, and Taz, first of all, says Cage came very close to firing him for what he did last week. Taz threw the towel in. He cost Brian Cage the championship, potentially the championship against Jon Moxley last week. But cooler heads have prevailed, and he did not fire him, and all is well. He explained why he threw the towel, and he says he did it to protect Cage. He was doing it to protect his surgically repaired bicep. He goes, I tore my bicep in ECW. I know what it's like. This guy's already torn his bicep. I couldn't let him tear it again. He's got a big future ahead of him. I did it for his own good. So at least they tried to explain why he did what he did. So Darby Allin comes out, and he's got his skateboard, and he's coming down the ramp, and right before he enters the ring, Ricky Starks attacks him from behind. And when I say that Ricky Starks attacked him from behind, he clobbered this guy. He absolutely clobbered this guy from behind. I thought Darby was injured. That's how hard Ricky Starks hit this guy from behind. So Ricky takes him down. Cage comes out onto the ramp, and he powerbombs Darby, picks up Darby, powerbombs him over the ropes into the ring. Ricky Starks picks up Darby, delivers the old Farouk Dominator, and then he retrieves Darby's skateboard from outside the ring, and he gives it to Brian Cage, and Starks is holding him up, and he's going to, I guess, ram the skateboard into his face or his throat or whatever he's going to do, and out comes Jon Moxley from the crowd. He's got a barbed wire baseball bat. He comes to the rescue, and the heels bail. They all run off. So, you know, Darby came to Moxley's aid the week before. This was Moxley's way, I guess, of kind of repaying him the favor. Although I do wonder, you know, does Jon Moxley just randomly walk around every week with a barbed wire baseball bat? Is he that paranoid that he has to have a barbed wire bat on him at all times? Because if so, it doesn't speak very well of the work environment there in AEW. But luckily for Darby, he had a barbed wire baseball bat. So now the women. Actually, before I get to the women, let me catch up here. Got a lot of Super Chat love coming in from you guys. Nathan Cania, thank you for the $5. Let's see here. Man, we got Jacob Donnelly with the 10 spot. He thought this episode was fantastic. Eric Stankoff. And we got Kiara Santiago with the $5 drop. Says, please tell me I'm not the only one who was annoyed by how tiny the AEW women's title is. Yeah, I think they were going for kind of like an old school kind of throwback look. I agree. It's a little on the small side. But then again, when you think who the champion was, it was Riho. Riho wasn't even, Riho was probably 98 pounds. So when Riho had it, it kind of made sense. But now for everyone else, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And James Adair. This is for the Solid Monster Vaseline Fund. Well, you got to put some context on it because otherwise their minds are going to wander. What do you mean by that? I still don't know. It's 24 hours later. Vaseline was trending on Twitter yesterday, and I have no idea why. Can somebody explain to me why Vaseline? Maybe I don't want to know. You know what? Never mind. I don't want to know. I don't even want to know. We got a video hyping a tournament. A women's tournament coming up. I thought at first it was a women's tournament to crown a number one contender maybe for Sheeta's championship, but that's not what this is. This is a 16-woman or 8-team first ever AEW Women's Tag Team Tournament. They are calling it the Deadly Draw. And they kept billing it as coming this summer, which was kind of weird because we're in the middle of summer. I had to stop and think, like, what month are we in here? We're right in the middle of summer. So, I don't, that could mean next week. That can mean 2 weeks from now. I don't know when they're planning on doing this, but sometime this summer, this tournament is going to begin. And I guess the whole deadly draw thing, it's them building up, you know, potentially they're teasing new alliances and maybe some teams that we wouldn't expect. Yeah, because it's not as if they have a whole bunch of women's tag teams in AEW. They really don't, right? They have, I think, one. I mean, they have the Nightmare, what is it, the Nightmare Sisters. And they're a new team. They've only been teaming for a matter of weeks. Brandi Rhodes and Allie. So I would say most of these teams are going to be unusual pairings that have never been, you know, they've never been a tag team before. I don't know what the end result of this is going to be, you know, outside of winning a cup. Kind of like, maybe it's like the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. But with the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic and NXT, the winners get an NXT Tag Team title match. There are no AEW Women's Tag Team titles. And I hope, I really hope that the end goal here is not to establish Women's Tag Team titles. I mean, they're basically pointless in WWE. And WWE actually has a few women's teams. AEW doesn't really have any women's teams. So, you know, what is the point of even thinking about possibly having women's tag team titles? I think that would be a terrible idea. I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but if it was, I see absolutely no reason for them to have women's tag team titles in this company. If it's a one-time tournament, you know, it's like a special thing, they want to feature some new faces, okay, fine, but I really hope that's not the direction that they're going in with this, because that would be completely unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. And right now, the only team we know of that is officially in is the Nightmare Sisters. So we'll have to wait a few weeks and see, I guess, who else is in it and exactly what it might be leading to. Level 20, Factum, really awesome AEW show, removes the stink of Extreme Rules. Tamara Davis, one of our wrenches in the chat, shout out to her, used to be legend, Arn Anderson. Yes, that was one of the insults from Eddie Kingston tonight. He dared insult the enforcer. Arn Anderson was not happy about that. And Chris with the Super Chat, big fan, first time super chatting. Thank you. I do appreciate that. Then came the match of the night. This was my favorite part of the whole show. I had a lot of fun watching this. The Young Bucks against the Butcher and the Blade. And I say that very proudly tonight because this was the best Butcher and Blade match of their entire run so far in AEW. And certainly the most fun that I've had watching them since they came to AEW. This was a Falls Count Anywhere match. This match was more extreme than any Extreme Rules match that we had on Sunday. If we're being honest here. And I'm a sucker for a good Falls Count Anywhere match. I don't care what promotion it is. Like, even when WWE does them, I get really irritated if they do them and they only keep it to, like, the ringside area, the aisleway, the stage. Like, I want to go in the back. I want to go into the parking lot. Go into the street. I remember once it was Al Snow and the Big Boss Man at SummerSlam, I think 2000 maybe. Maybe 99. Might have been 99. And they went across the out of the building, across the street, into like a bar or a restaurant or something. Like, that's the kind of stuff I like. So anyway, they show the Young Bucks walking backstage. They're looking for the Butcher and the Blade. Lucky for them, they happen to go to the kitchen. It just so happens they thought, hey, let's go to the kitchen. We have a guy that calls himself the Butcher. Let's go to the kitchen and see if he's there. And sure enough, there. Not only was he there, they were cutting meat. I don't know why. They were cutting meat, beating meat, whatever they were doing. They're in the kitchen at TIAA Field, which is the football stadium that's adjacent to Daly's place. That's where they were. So we see the Butcher and the Blade, and they're playing with their meat. And they look up, and they see the Young Bucks. So they put their meat down, and they take off their robe and everything. And before they actually go and they fight these guys, they have enough sense. They're hand-washing hygiene is so important to them that they actually took the time to wash their hands, which is a good time for me to let all of you know in a public service announcement, wash your hands. Wash your hands and wear a damn mask. So they wash their hands, and then it's time to attack. And so then the match begins, and they're brawling all over the kitchen. So they brawl through the kitchen, and you know, the guys are getting backdropped on top of the meat table, and you know, eventually it spills out onto the concourse. So now they're in the concourse on TIAA Field, and Butcher and Blade see a, it's like a red cart, like one of these carts to transport materials, wood, whatever. So, like, Butcher is pushing it, and the Blade is in front. Now, the Young Bucks are positioned in front of one of these giant columns, and of course, you can see where this is going. As the Butcher is pushing the cart forward, the Young Bucks move, and poor Blade goes right into the column. So we got the Blade, the Butcher, they're getting beaten up. The Butcher, I think, had a cookie tray knocked into his face. The Blade is on his hands and knees trying to crawl away. He crawls over to where the escalator is, and the Young Bucks give him a dual super kick. He falls backwards onto the escalator, and up the escalator he goes. So they cut to commercial, they come back. Now they've brawled inside the arena. Now they've brawled inside to Daly's place. And this was the craziest part of this whole match. Maybe the finish was, but this was the second craziest. Blade is in the ring. Oh, the Blade. And the Blade decides we're going to see Lucha Blade, and he goes and he dives out over the top rope. Now, he was diving at the Young Bucks. There was a table on the outside. He missed everything, including the table. And he crashed and he burned. It was brutal. He just missed everybody and everything. Butcher hit a crossbody on Nick Jackson through a table outside. He was up against the table, was propped up against the metal guardrail. And Butcher's a big guy. And he comes in and just a giant splash. Blade is still down. The Bucks are getting offense in on Butcher. Matt has him in a sharpshooter. Nick Jackson at the same time puts him in a crossface. Blade is coming back now. He's alive. He makes the save. Just total insanity here. Total insanity here through this entire match. Butcher and Blade hit a powerbomb neckbreaker combo on Matt Jackson on the stage. Nick makes the save. So the Bucks make a comeback. And there's a table in front of one tunnel. You know, they have the two entranceways. They lay the Blade on top of one table in front of one tunnel. They lay the Butcher on top of the other table in front of the other tunnel. And both Young Bucks climb up on top of the tunnels. And we had Matt Jackson hitting an elbow drop on the Butcher. Nick Jackson hits a senton on the Blade, which was even crazier. And they both cover the Butcher and the Blade. Simultaneous pins. And the Young Bucks pick up the win here in this match. This match was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this match. And like I said before, the best Butcher and Blade match that I've seen on television since they debuted. So the only thing I wish is I wish they would at least notch a few more wins on TV. They never win. So, like, they have a great look. Like, these guys, they're in their position that they're in. They're in the spot they're in, and that's fine. But, like, these guys look the part. They look tough and big and mean, especially Butcher, but they never win. So I feel like at some point, you know, these guys have to win. Maybe this wasn't the match to win, but I would like to see them notch a few wins under their belt because I think they deserve it. I think they're a good team. You know, they're a good team. They're not going to be, like, top level right up there with the Bucks and FTR and, you know, Kenny and Hangman. You know, those are the guys right now that are occupying those top spots, but I think they have a place on the show, and I thought this was fucking great. I thought this was excellent. I really enjoyed that. Backstage, Lance Archer. Speaking of guys who deserve better. Now, I kind of look at Brody Lee, Lance Archer, and then we had the debut of Brian Cage. And I feel like these guys, especially Archer, kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. You know, Archer had that issue with Cody at first, and then it was over. And he lost, and then they've done nothing with him. It's like he's just like a rudderless boat. He's completely directionless. He'll show up every other week with Jake Roberts. He'll beat up a few people. Tonight was no different. He was in the back, and Alex Marvez is there, and we see Archer goes into the men's locker room, and he's just picking random job guys off left and right, beating them up, throwing them around. Jake the Snake is cutting a promo in the background, talking about what do we have to do? What do we have to do to get attention around here? We keep getting ignored. What's going on here? Sooner or later, somebody's going to step up. They're tired of it. They're tired. They're fed up. And we'll see where they go with this. But yeah, somebody like Lance Archer, you got to come up with something for Lance Archer. I mean, Darby is occupied right now. I just like the whole big guy, little guy thing, but I guess Darby is occupied right now with Brian Cage. I don't know, you know, who you program Archer with in like a singles feud. I'd have to take a look at the current roster. I don't have the roster in front of me. All the key players in AEW, I will give them credit for this. They have people on the roster who are directionless right now, who I'd like to see them do more with, and Archer is one of those guys. But I will give them credit for this, more so than I will WWE. The key players in AEW, when you look at where they are right now and where they're going, All Out, Beyond All Out, it's pretty obvious where they're going, and everybody has something going on. Brian Cage has something going on. Now with Darby Allin, John Moxley. I assume MJF is going to be next in line for the championship. That may be the main event at All Out. Continuing to build tension between Kenny and Hangman. Now they've introduced FTR into that issue. The Bucks are kind of involved in that as well. Everything is sort of making sense, and you can see where they're going with it. In WWE, like when we look to SummerSlam, okay, let's say they do Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. If Drew McIntyre wins and beats Randy Orton, well, then what? Like, who do they have? Like, nothing is obvious there. It seems like they're just throwing things at the wall to see what sticks. How can we just get by another month? Even if Orton wins, how many people are really there for him to challenge? That, I think, is an advantage right now at this moment that AEW has. You know, and they're missing a few people for various reasons, so there is that. But just to make the comparison between the two, I like where guys are positioned right now, at least at the top of the card. They've got a direction. They know where they're going. And, you know, in WWE, it just seems like once you get past SummerSlam, who's left? Where do you go from, at least on the Raw brand, where do you go from there? That's one of the things I like about where things are right now in AEW. Everything seems to be positioned right where it needs to be. They're building stories. They're building feuds. I like that. Ivelisse. Here's another very interesting part of the show. Ivelisse Velez, one-on-one with Diamante, both making their Dynamite debuts. Diamante has appeared several times on AEW Dark, going back to January earlier this year. And a few times recently, and I said this on Twitter, during the show tonight, I tweeted out during the show, I said, if they end up signing Diamante, and it sounds like they're interested because she's going to be challenging, or I don't know if it's for the championship. It might be for the championship, but she's having a match with Sheeta, so she's going to be around. But if they signed her, if she became like a full-time member of the AEW roster, I would love to see them reunite her with Santana and Ortiz. You know, they were an act together, the whole LAX thing in Impact, several years ago. Not saying, oh, they should just copy what Impact did, but, you know, they were together. They had great chemistry. Part of it also is, you know, Santana and Ortiz, on the one hand, they're in a good spot in the Inner Circle because they're associated with Chris Jericho, one of the top stars in the company. So being associated with Jericho pretty much guarantees them television time, no matter what. And I was going to say that the group has felt like it's kind of dying a slow death in recent weeks without Sammy Guevara. And then, boom, right at the end of the show, who's back? Sammy Guevara. So now I changed my tune a little bit here because now they have a real chance, you know, to breathe some life back into the Inner Circle. It just felt like it was kind of dying a little bit. And if that's the case, then maybe you don't want to break them up. But it was just the thought that I had that you can maybe break them away on their own and put them with Diamante. And somebody even said, hey, what about Eddie Kingston? Again, I don't know what his situation is with the NWA. Contract-wise, if they were going to bring Eddie Kingston in and you want to put all four of them together in a faction, fine with me. Eddie Kingston coming out on TV cutting promos like that every week. Santana and Ortiz maybe not being, you know, playing almost second fiddle, third fiddle in the Inner Circle. Put a little more shine on them. Diamante with them. I think that could work. I think that could work. So Ivelisse and Diamante, this is a big match for them. It was their chance to go out on TNT tonight and show what they're made of. Part of the match was obscured because they went to a big swole inset promo talking about Dr. Britt Baker. So they kind of squeezed Ivelisse and Diamante into the little box, and they had Big Swole talking for about 60 seconds. The match itself, it went a few minutes. I didn't really think the match was that great, to be honest with you. I thought it was kind of weak. It was okay. I think they were probably constrained by time. They didn't have a lot of time in there. But, what I saw was, I've seen both ladies, especially Ivelisse, I've seen them have better matches. I'm sure the two of them have had better matches. Didn't they have a match on that Girls' Night Out show or something a few years ago? I heard good things about that. I don't know if I ever watched it or not. But now the match itself was okay. Ivelisse used the powerbomb near fall. Finish came out of nowhere. Ivelisse hit the ropes. She came off, and Diamante basically just cradled her for the win. Now, beyond that, there wasn't really a whole lot. They went back and forth and traded a few moves, but again, I think these women are capable of a lot more. I definitely think they deserve a further look. Diamante is going to be back on TV next week. Ivelisse as well. There's been a lot of stories about her and rumors and baggage and all that, but who knows? Maybe she'll be on her best behavior. She's talented. She's talented. Bring these women back and let's see more of them on TV and let's see what they're really capable of. Let's see what they're capable of. Now, I was thinking about this because I guess that wouldn't work. I was going to say, we haven't seen Jack Evans and Angelico. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the travel restrictions or where they'd be coming in. I assume not. I assume that they're available. I've never understood why AEW didn't use them more often. I mean, they've been there from like day one. And I was a huge fan of their act and what they were doing in Lucha Underground. And when I heard they had signed with AEW, I said, oh, this is great. And then we never really get to see them. So I was going to say, maybe if Ivelisse comes in, you could do something where, she does something with them or is paired off with them. But then I remember there was a back and forth on Twitter earlier today with Ivelisse and Jack Evans. They are not fond of each other. They were going back and forth, airing some stuff publicly that maybe should not have been aired out publicly. Scratch that. It's a bad idea. I don't think they're going to want to work together. So that's a bad idea. That is a bad idea. Rodimus Prime, thank you for the $10. Inner Alchemist. I died laughing when Lance Archer threw that guy through the ceiling. Oh, yeah. I forget to mention that. He threw the guy through the roof. You can't find anything for this guy to do? Come on. I guess that's his gimmick. He just randomly beats up people. But at some point, there's got to be a purpose to it. He's got to do something meaningful. And Crash. Starks reminds me of Shane Helms for some reason. Ricky Starks is very talented. If you are not familiar with Ricky Starks' work, in the NWA, for example, his in-ring work is good, but what really stuck out to me when I would watch him on NWA Power is he's got a certain charisma to him. His promos, the way he carries himself. He's not a physically big guy. He's actually a small guy. And unfortunately for him, that probably would work against him elsewhere. In AEW, he might fare better, but he's a charismatic guy. And so it's cool to see that they're doing something with him by putting him with Taz and Brian Cage. That's a good spot for him to be in. So I'm really happy that they are doing something meaningful with Ricky Starks and they didn't just sign him just to put him on Dark every week. So I think that's going to be a really good spot for him to be in. Hangman Adam Page against Alan Angels, who is now 5 of the Dark Order. He's King Kong Bundy reincarnated. Dark Order come out on stage during the match, and they're just standing there. They're watching the match. They're watching the action. They're observing. Come back from break. Adam Page makes a comeback, hits a powerbomb, covers 5 for the pin. He should have covered him for 5. He should have gotten the pin and said, no, 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 I want 5. And the referee could have counted 4-5. So Brody Lee walks to the ring. All the other members of the Dark Order are on the stage. Brody Lee walks down to the ring. He tells Adam Page that he's been nothing but impressed with him. They've been watching him. He's very impressive and What he's not impressed by is his lack of friends right now when he's in danger. We can protect you. We can help protect you. And Adam Page says, sorry, I'm not interested in joining a cult. That does not make Brody Lee very happy. Says, you've made a very big mistake. So he walks back on stage with the other members of the Dark Order. Freudian slip. And they all take off their shirts and they attack Page in the ring. And it's overwhelming. The numbers are just too much. I mean, he's only one guy. And so they all just overwhelm him. FTR, who Page was sharing a drink at the bar with last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. They come out to make the save. They beat Kenny Omega to the punch. Kenny Omega is this guy's tag team partner, and he came out last. Finally, he comes out after FTR already came out. Kenny, at one point, was asking for a beer. They, like, ignored him. Hangman was more interested in hanging out with FTR than he was Kenny. I like the way they're building this up. FTR are going to win those belts. They should do the split when that match happens, either during the match, after the match, the next week, whenever. That's when the split should finally happen. But FTR should win the tag team titles. Then you can move on to the Young Bucks feud. Young Bucks want to be the champs. Hey, we beat you. We beat you to the punch. We won the belts before you did. There's your story. And meanwhile, Kenny and Hangman split. The question is it Kenny that goes heel or is it Hangman that goes heel? I'm starting to think it's going to be Kenny Omega. Vincent Millage. What would you think of a tag team with Mox and Darby? Oh, you're going to get it next week. Going to get it on TV next week. If Mox wants to dominate AEW, he should team up with the only guy who has consistently saved him. I don't think Jon Moxley needs to be partners with anybody. Ken terminated by DQ. Love your Bret Hart Hogan rating video. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, today was Shawn Michaels' birthday. I believe Shawn Michaels now, the sexy boy, is now 55 years old, which is impossible to believe, but I guess he is 55 years old. And Dax Harwood of FTR, I'll tie it into AEW here, posted, now he's the biggest Bret Hart, I mean, you guys think I'm a big Bret Hart fan. I mean, Bret Hart's my favorite, but FTR, they're super Bret marks. I mean, they love Bret Hart, and Bret loves them, and they're always texting and talking to each other. We'll never forget the Hall of Fame, of course, when Cash Wheeler, it's his new name, threw a sucker punch at that guy who tried to attack Brett, the guy with the dreadlocks. So he posted a tweet. Scott Dawson posted a tweet today saying, today is Shawn Michaels' birthday. So in honor of that, I wanted to share a photo of the greatest wrestler to ever lace up a pair of boots. And it was a picture of Bret Hart. It's a picture of Bret Hart in the ring wearing the WWF title. And all I did was retweet it because I'm a big Bret fan. So I didn't say anything. I just retweeted it. And my God, was the butthurt strong with all of the Shawn Michaels fans. You know that Vaseline stuff, actually. I think these Shawn Michaels fans can use some Vaseline, actually. Bunch of tight asses, these people. My God, were they butthurt by this. I got so many angry tweets from all the Shawn Michaels fans out there. Holy crap. It was awesome, actually. It made me laugh. It put a smile on my face to see how... I mean, how easy it is just to set them off. Like, they're so sensitive. My God, like, get a grip. Take a pill. Go for a walk. I think quarantine has you going a little crazy. Chris Jericho and Jake Hager against Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy in the main event. There was a fun exchange with Hager and Luchasaurus. They went back and forth. Two big guys beating the hell out of each other. I'll always mark out for that. So that was fun. Jericho punched the hell out of Marco's stunt. That was cool. That was right before they went to commercial break. Hey, Marco got involved in the match. So Jericho punched him in the face. Jericho later on tried to bring in Floyd the baseball bat into the match. He had a little scuffle with Aubrey Edwards. Aubrey Edwards was doing her best Earl Hebner impression. you know, pushing back, yelling, stuff that we've seen, we used to see Hebner do with all the top stars on TV, probably with Jericho. And she was telling him, put the bat down. You can't use the bat. Put the bat down. So, I see we have, boy, we have a lot of butthurt fans even in the chat here. My God, man. The Shawn Michaels fans are out in full force today. Hey, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with being second best. There's nothing wrong with this. No shame in that. Shawn is fantastic. Shawn Michaels is part of my favorite WrestleMania match of all time. It's not a Bret Hart match. It's a Shawn Michaels match. You should be happy. But Bret is just the best. I'm sorry. So Luchasaurus was bleeding from the ear. I didn't see how it happened, but what's with bleeding from the ear? We saw Orange Cassidy bleeding from the ear. Kip Sabian was bleeding from the ear a few weeks ago. Mike Tyson bit Holyfield. His ear was bleeding. Well, I'm going back 23 years now, but what is with all these ears bleeding? Bobby Lashley's ear exploded on Raw a few weeks ago. All the cauliflower ear, I don't know, just exploded. There's blood everywhere. Should wear some of that amateur wrestling headgear to protect your ears. I love it. I love getting under their skin. Marco with a missile dropkick to Jericho, right into a super kick. Jericho gets super kicked by Luchasaurus. Jungle Boy hit this pretty cool Rana. He jumped up. I don't remember if it was Ortiz or Santana who was on the apron. But basically, he jumped up and took him out with a Rana, and he then fell into his partner. So they took out LAX on the outside. They're wiped out. And all of a sudden, there's a luchador at ringside. And there is a luchador who has been appearing on AEW Dark for a while called Serpentico. Wears a mask, right? You can't see his face. And Serpentico was at ringside, and he takes the baseball bat. Referee didn't see it. He takes the baseball bat and he hits Luchasaurus from behind. Luchasaurus is up against the ropes and he hits him with the bat. And Jericho finishes off Luchasaurus and gets the win. So now we're all wondering, you know, what's the deal here? Who was Serpentico? They're trying to make it like Serpentico is now the newest member of the Inner Circle. I said, okay, sure. I'm waiting for the mask to come off. I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's Sammy, but it seems kind of early. Sammy hasn't been gone that long. You know, I hope it is Sammy, because if it's not, that means they replaced him. And sure enough, he takes the mask off, and who is it? Sammy Guevara. Finally. Finally. This group was starting to die a little bit in my book. I mean, it's got Jake Hager, and I mean, Ortiz is always very entertaining. Jericho's entertaining, but I was waiting for Sammy to come back. Sammy has paid his penance. He lost a lot of money. He was embarrassed. And I don't think he'll be doing that ever again. So Sammy is back, as he should be. Never even a thought in my mind that Sammy Guevara should lose his job over what happened. You know, Tony Khan had to do something. He did. And now Sammy Guevara is back. And I'm glad to see him back. And I'm glad to see the Inner Circle back together. Paul Hamilton with the $50 Super Chat drop. The Portland pop star all the way over in Portland. There's a lot going on in Portland right now. It's getting kind of crazy in Portland, so hopefully you're doing okay. But thank you for that. $50, wow. You are awesome. Orange Cassidy comes out, and he's out there with the best friends. They clear the ring, the Inner Circle bails, and that is how they went off the air. Next Wednesday, it's going to be Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defending the AEW tag team titles against Stu Grayson and Evil Uno. Hikaru Shida takes on Diamante. I'm not sure if that, I don't believe that's a title match. It shouldn't be. If they're going by rankings, then I don't think it would be. Jon Moxley and Darby Allin are going to team up against Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. It will be a tornado match, so everybody in the ring at once. Cody defends the TNT title in the open challenge. And we are going to have a 10-man tag team main event. Best Friends, Orange Cassidy, and Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus against all the members of the Inner Circle. Jericho, Hager, I just hit the table. Jericho, Hager, Santana, Ortiz, and Sammy G. And so that's a pack card for next week. I thought the show tonight was excellent. I really thought this was the best Dynamite episode in a long time. I really enjoyed tonight's show. I thought it was a very, very strong show. I love pretty much most everything on the show, really. And then, you know, that's even with a Jake Hager in the main event. That's not easy to do. I do not like seeing Jake Hager in main events. And the women's match, I think those women are capable of more than what we saw. But we got a lot of cool shit on the show tonight. Eddie Kingston again. I hope they have him back. I would love to see him back on the show. Ricky Starks being put in a meaningful role, I think, is great. The Falls Count Anywhere match was a lot of fun. They've built up a big card already for next week. They're moving the story ahead with Hangman and Omega and FTR. So, and the Butcher and the Blade. It was a big night for them as well. So, can't say enough good things about this show tonight. The Gaming Prophet. The Gaming Prophet says, who do you think will be the next AEW champion? MJF, Omega, or somebody else? You know, that's tough. I assume MJF is going to be the next challenger. Do you do a title change? I might do a title change there. There's a way to get the belt on MJF. But, you know, Moxley, part of me feels like you don't want to blow it yet. Moxley should maybe lose to somebody who's a little bit bigger. Maybe he should lose it to Omega. If Omega goes heel, here's the thing. If Kenny Omega goes heel, in the next month, 2 months, the split happens, Hangman doesn't go heel, Kenny does. I would not take the title off Moxley, because what I would do is I would build to full gear in November. 1 year after their non-sanctioned match that Moxley won, you can come back and do it again, sanction this time, but Kenny's the heel and Kenny beats him for the championship. That's a story that I like. And if Kenny wins the championship, guess what? Guess who you can build as the number one contender for that title? Hangman Page. I like that more. I like that more. So actually, if they were to do that, I would keep the belt on Moxley. That's an idea that I like. If it were me, keep the belt on Moxley, turn Kenny instead, let them do the match 1 year later, Kenny beats Moxley for the championship, then you can groom Hangman to challenge him. And in the meantime, Darby, who's doing his thing with Brian Cage right now, I don't know if Cody's going to go heel or not, but I still feel Darby Allin should be the one to eventually go on to unseat Cody to be the TNT champion. Darby Allin needs to get that win back over Cody. Well, not win back. I mean, he hasn't yet to beat Cody. What better way to beat Cody than to beat him for the TNT title? That TNT title, to me, was tailor-made for somebody like a Darby Allin. Darby Allin could be AEW champion one day, but it ain't. Today is not that day. This year is not that time. The TNT title is perfect for someone like him. I see people online saying, you know, Matt Cardona, and I've said this for weeks. We're going to see Zack Ryder pop up one of these weeks, maybe next week. He's definitely going to pop up on TV, and I would bet dollars to donuts it's going to be in a TNT title match against Cody. And I've seen so many comments from people saying that if they do it, he's got to win the championship. I am not convinced. I'm not on board with that as much as a lot of other people are. I don't see why you have to put the title on Cardona if he debuts. I mean, you could, and then you could just have Cody win it back, but you're potentially ruining a story that's there with Darby. So if Ryder ends up in AEW, good for him. I don't know if he'll end up at a level like a Sean Spears, or maybe he shows us something that we've not seen in him before. Maybe he can be one of those guys who, you know, can have a solid spot in the middle of the card. But, you know, this idea that, well, if he debuts on Dynamite, you got to put the belt on him. No, you don't. No, you don't. I don't like that idea. Brian Becerra stuck here at work watching Dynamite after I get out. Well, you are in for a great show. And Dried Chicken, Lance Archer beats up Jim Ross for Mega Heat. Can we, let's not, poor Jim Ross. Poor Jim Ross, I think, has been beaten up enough over the years. He's had his arm broken. He's had a cinder block broken against his head. He's been low-blowed, and he's been abused in all kinds of ways. Stone Cold beat the absolute fuck out of this guy with that championship, remember, years ago after the Austin heel turn? I think poor Jim Ross has been through enough. And Marty Bison, hey Marty, he was the winner. He was the number one winner in our big Wrestle Rumble contest on Sunday. He won 3 United States Championship replicas. So when you get them, I want you to take a picture and I want you to tweet it to me. I'm glad that you were the winner. And Chase Wood, what has been the best AEW match since their Double or Nothing show in 2019? It might be that tag team title match of Revolution. Kenny and Hangman against the Young Bucks. But let's see what you guys thought of the shows here tonight. Well, there it is. I mean, those results speak for itself. AEW poll so far, over 1,100 votes in already. 83% thumbs up, 17% thumbs down as compared to NXT. Just shy of 700 belts, 65.5% thumbs up. And we've got 34.5% thumbs down. So if you want to cast your ballot and let me know and let the world know what you thought of the show, go to @Solomossi. You see it right there on your screen. That's my Twitter handle. And you guys can let me know what you thought of the shows tonight. Cuba the Goat, what is going on? I'm doing a stream. That's what's going on. Rican Sun, Lance Archer is pretty much Aleister Black. Fight me. I guess he basically is. Jared, thank you for the 25, man. That's awesome. And Mr. Solo Loke Rager. I miss Pac. And he's been gone so long, I forgot how to pronounce his friggin' name. And he misses Pac, and Butcher and Blade are badass. They had a good night. They definitely had a good night for themselves. All right, so let me just take a few calls here as we move along here. Going to have some fun here on this stream, aren't we? Aren't we, 202?
Damn right, you know, especially with Dead Man Walking Garrett here with you, man.
Garrett is alive and well here on a Wednesday night. Always good to hear from you.
It's good to be here. But, yeah, I thought the show was, you know, probably like a perfectly booked AEW show today, you know. You know, the women's match was a little bit rough to watch in some spots, especially the chops that Ibelis and Demonte were throwing at each other. But, you know, the Falls Count Anywhere was great. You know, I love the fact that their Falls Count Anywhere actually started anywhere in the building, didn't start directly in the ring, like, you know, usually WWE matches were. But as you mentioned about the, you know, potentially Omega turning heel, but I was thinking that Hangman could turn heel and be part of the Four Horsemen, since he is, you know, a literal horse with Cody and the FTR.
Oh, my God.
That would be...
Oh, my God. I see what you did there. Yes, I see. Yes. I see.
Right. Yeah. But, you know,
he did ride a horse out for that Stadium Stampede, so...
I mean, he almost ran over Sammy Guevara with it as well.
He did.
So.
He did.
But... As well as, you know, I like the idea, especially because, you know, Cody was like a big believer of Hangman early on. He was, you know, backing him up when he was going against Jay White back in New Japan days. Hyped up him against Pac, even though, you know, the match never happened at Double or Nothing. But, you know, that's a potential idea. Again, you beat me to the punch with Eddie Kingston leading like a new Los Bariquas faction with Demonte and LAX. So it looks like they have like a lot of cool factions coming up on AEW at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the pieces are all there, and I'm curious to see where, you know, where they kind of fall into place. Anything else?
I'm just interested to see how this women's tag match is going to happen. I'm pretty sure this is basically a tournament for Brandi Rose to win, and Allie as well. I agree with the fact that I hope they don't do a women's tag or tag team titles anytime soon. You know, they were planning to do a trios title for the Jericho Cruise in February, but since that got delayed, they apparently have not been able to...
They
basically put the belts on ice.
Yeah, the Jericho Cruise, for those who don't know, Jericho was moving ahead with the triple whammy. This was going to be his third cruise at the beginning of February. You know, I went on the Jericho Cruise this year. That was my first cruise I ever took in my life, and I took the Jericho Cruise. It was a trip for friends since we weren't going to WrestleMania. And I had a blast, and we all agreed, okay, we'll do it again next year. Maybe this will become our annual, you know, thing. They had live AEW matches on the boat. They were going to tape TV. They were going to do either live or tape, but they were going to tape Dynamite on the boat. So this was going to be a big cruise. And obviously, with everything going on, we all agreed, like, we ain't going on no cruise. So they were moving ahead with it, which shocked me, but they sold out. So they got plenty of people to sign up for the cruise. And then the announcement came today that the cruise has been delayed until October of 2021. Which is going to be interesting because, you know, he was doing these cruises around January, February, like right in the middle of winter, which is perfect if you want to go to a hot climate. And now, if they kind of move it to the end of the year, does that become the new annual thing? Instead of January, do they do it in October? I don't know. But yeah, if you were planning on going on the Jericho cruise and you have already started paying and prepaying, you ain't going on no cruise in February. It's been delayed by many months.
Well, other than that, though, I thought the show was good. Hopefully, you know, it reflects in the ratings as how well it was. And again, I heard NXT did well as well. So, you know, let's just hope that everyone just enjoyed the wrestling tonight, I would say. You know, it was a good night for wrestling, and hopefully it reflects in the ratings coming in tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Everybody will have their pitchforks out tomorrow. Everyone get your shields ready, because when the ratings come out, it's never pretty with all of the diehards.
It's going to be a little bit of a slap fest going on Twitter tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you go. But, look, I want both shows to do. I haven't watched NXT. I don't know what went on NXT. I'll watch it tomorrow. But I want both shows to do well. I want both shows to do well. And I guess we'll see tomorrow. I've given up trying to figure out what these patterns are. One week AEW is setting a record. The next week they've set a new record low. NXT goes up. NXT goes down. We'll just wait and see. It's more like a morbid curiosity when the numbers come in. Doesn't affect me one way or the other. I just find it kind of interesting to see, you know, the way they ping pong back and forth. I don't think there's any real rhyme or reason to it. Let's go to 718.
How's it going, Jason?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Turtlehead 2 wanted me to call in, so I kind of came up with a question to ask. I was thinking about how they haven't really done a lot of title changes since they transitioned to the empty arena shows. The only ones I can really think of was the women's title, unless you really count Cody winning the TNT title for the first time. So I was going to ask, when they take the title off Jon Moxley, do you think that they should wait for that moment to have a crowd, or should they just pull the trigger if the opponent is right?
I don't think you can wait, just because you don't know when you're going to get crowds back. So to me, if you want to do it at All Out is the beginning of September. That gives him another month and a half as champion. I think that sounds like a good time to me. I mean, well, either All Out or like what I talked about earlier, you can do it in November. The fact is, I don't think we're going to have crowds at all this year. So you can't wait, because the problem is you don't know how long you're waiting for. You're going to just keep the belt on Moxley for, you know, indefinitely until you're able to get people back. I think when it makes sense to do it, and I think November might make sense, then you just got to do it. I like the fact that they have champions that have held the belts for a while. You know, we have Cody with the TNT title. That's a new belt they introduced. They're going to do this Women's Cup. So I guess that kind of gives people something to look forward to, some kind of big trophy or prize or whatever. I guess we have Brian Cage, too, right? He's the FTW champion. So, yeah, I wouldn't wait. When you're ready to do it, just do it, because you don't know how long you're going to wait.
I agree. I think that was the problem when they postponed the Inner Circle versus the Elite match. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of silly. I understood it. But that was an indefinite postponement, so I felt like they really backed themselves into a corner with that. So, I agree. They definitely shouldn't wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, that I can understand. Just that's a special match that I'm sure would work so much better in front of actual fans, the whole blood and guts thing.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, no one's talking about blood and guts. It's kind of on the back burner. I don't think you need to do it. That you can wait, because that you could do any time, right? I mean, it may have different people in it by the time we get there. But it, you know, may not be Inner Circle against the Elite. Who knows? There may not even be an Elite or an Inner Circle at that point. That you can delay. Your champions, though, you got to just keep things going. You can't just kind of put a pause on everything, because you just don't know when you're going to be able to get people back.
I miss you. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Call in again soon. That was a call from 718, fellow New Yorker, I assume. Man, we had some wicked storms. It was scary. I didn't know if I was going to be able to stream tonight. I thought for sure the power was going to go out. That's how bad it was. I mean, this room was lighting up like a Christmas tree, and I had the blinds drawn, and the lightning was still coming through. and the thunder and stuff. Man, if my cat was still here, she would be curled up in the fetal position under the bed. I wouldn't see her for a week. That's how bad it was outside. Raymond Medina. Always good to hear. Raymond's one of our supporters from the main podcast. Arrived late and missed AEW using a VPN to be able to send Super Chat. Well, that's, he's committed. He's using a VPN to send Super Chat. Well, I hope it's ExpressVPN. They used to be a sponsor, but they're not a sponsor anymore, so what do I care? Chris Quillman. Now, they have a good service, though. Chris Quillman with the $5. I'm a bit disappointed that Ivelisse did not get the win tonight. Shout out to my fellow Lucha Underground fans and Rikensun. Happy birthday, bro. And Andrew Davis, my prediction, Zack Ryder joins AEW and beats Cody for the TNT title. Yeah, maybe, but he'll join AEW. I don't think he's joining Hawkins. Hawkins went to Impact. I'm almost positive we're going to see Ryder in AEW, but winning the TNT title, I'm not sold on that. Johnny A, Solid Monster by day, Orange by night, and still live streams to cap it all off. You are the best. Well, I try. I do my best. Jordan Rupp, I understand why he is gone, but I miss Sammy. I don't know if Jordan watched the show tonight. You should probably watch the end of Dynamite. I think you might be impressed. I think you might be happy. I think you might be happy if you watch the end of the show. Let's go to 716.
Good evening, Sal Monster. This is Dan from Niagara Falls, New York. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Not too bad. This was a very good show. Highlights was, Eddie Kingston cutting a hell of a promo and extra points for wearing a Travis Bickle shirt from Taxi Driver. That was also pretty cool. And Young Bucks and Butcher and Blade, False Count Anywhere match was very, very fun. So I guess the only question I had was with all the speculations of Kenny turning heel possibly and Cody turning heel and maybe even after Jon Moxley drops the championship, maybe we'll get to see the heel side of him that we never got to see in WWE. My question is, like, is there any like heels on AEW that you could see as being like the next big babyface or one of the more popular babyfaces on the roster?
So somebody who's currently a heel who I think could go on to become a big babyface?
Yeah, like some later on, like maybe like,
oh, well, I mean,
I know Wardlow's still pretty green, well, I was gonna but say, well, like, he's got a lotus of potential.
Yeah, Wardlow is one, but look, MJF could be the biggest babyface in the world. I just think that would be terrible. He was born to be a heel. I don't think he's anywhere near being in a position where he should be a babyface. But when that time comes, because it happens to everybody, and by then, hopefully, people are back in the buildings and all that, I think MJF, my God, can... Maybe it's 2-3 years down the road, but he's going to be a gigantic babyface.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess it's working for Kevin Owens. I mean, he was a good heel, and now he's doing the babyface thing, so...
Yeah,
very well. The only thing I got to add is I miss Pac. I love that bastard.
Yeah, it's too bad. You know, he's kind of stuck in limbo right now, and I don't know when he'll be able to come back. It's like in NXT and WWE, Pete Dunne. Yeah, Pete Dunne was doing the whole Broserweight thing with Matt Riddle, and then he just went back because he had moved to Florida, so he was living here, but I guess then he went back home, and he's just stuck there. And so you have all these people in different parts of the world, and there's no telling when they'll be able to come back. And he had just started doing the death triangle thing with Lucha Bros, too, and they had to drop that whole thing.
I mean, it sucks. I mean, the thing about Pete Dunne, I mean, that sucked, too, but at least we got Thatcher Stach can class and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
that guy's a beast.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of that.
Thank you very much, man, and you have a good night. Thank you again for the content.
Thank you. You too. I appreciate that. Yeah, Timothy Thatcher is one of my one of the bright spots for me in NXT. That and then that whole Fight Pit match. I feel like it should be his specialty match, like the Lion's Den used to be Ken Shamrock. I think the Fight Pit should be Timothy Thatcher's match. I want to see a Fight Pit with him and Oney Lorcan. That's what I want to see. Let's go to 205 Live. We are live.
Hey, Jason. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
doing pretty good. This is Jeremiah. Remember I called a few weeks ago and my phone was on speaker?
Well, there were two people who called in with their phone on speaker, so you were one of them.
Yeah, and I had said in the chat that you said you heard yourself in the background and everything.
Yeah, yes, that's always fun.
Well, I was just thinking tonight was a good episode of AEW, but when I heard the people that were being triggered about your little jab at Shawn Michaels' birthday today, it reminded me when you did a special sound off extra. I think it was called Monday Night Rossel.
Oh yeah,
and you said something that was so funny, and I was just thinking about it earlier. You were talking about how bad the booking was, and you said that your cat could write a better episode of Monday Night Raw, and all she does is sit over in the corner and lick herself.
Yeah, I agree. And now she's not doing anything because she's not here anymore, and I still say that she could book a better show.
Yeah, I'm thinking she could. She could definitely book a better show from beyond.
Now, I want to say that was November of 2018, maybe. Yeah, I got that. That was a horrible Raw. And I think that review did like over 100,000 views or something. I was not the only one who thought that was a terrible show. That was an all-timer.
Yeah, and you had another good moment, too. I remember when you were talking about the release of Damian Sandow. And I actually saved this as one of my favorites in my YouTube collection. And you said, whose wife did this man fuck to be released from the WWE?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this.
So, I have to say.
Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Well, I was just going to say, beyond all of the greatest hits, I mean, was there anything specific from Dynamite that you either really hated or really liked tonight? Because for me, I mean, I told you what I liked the most about it, but what did you think of the show tonight?
Well, what I liked the most about Dynamite is I'm glad that they're using Ricky Starks as much as they are, because I hadn't seen him in a couple of weeks, and I followed his career for the time that he was on NWA Power. And now with NWA Power being in limbo, I'm glad to see that, you know, he had a good showing tonight. But I did have one concern in relation to Ricky Starks. He is a good promo. He has a good look. But I have to say, whenever I saw him in NWA, as I see him now in AEW, he looks so much like The Rock, even with wearing the, you know, the baseball jersey like The Rock. I don't want him to ever be so confused with The Rock, even though he is smaller in stature, because he does have a bright future. And I'm just a little concerned. Do you think maybe with his delivery and everything that he might be a little held back by that because of the comparisons?
No, I don't think so. When I look at him, I don't see The Rock. You know, I had that issue with Eli Drake. Eli Drake is also a very good promo. He's just a natural speaker. He's got a certain charisma about him. I could not watch Eli Drake or listen to an Eli Drake promo on NWA Power without thinking he's either trying to mimic Steve Austin or he's trying to mimic The Rock. He would like vacillate back and forth from one week to the next. And I just thought he does a great Stone Cold impersonation and he does a great Rock impersonation. And I understand he's probably a big Dwayne Johnson fan because I think he was on The Rock, had this reality show. I forgot the name of it, but and he was a contestant, actually, on The Rock's reality show. So maybe he's tight with The Rock. But I couldn't help but just say, here's a guy masquerading as his favorite wrestler. And he doesn't have to do that. His mannerisms, the things he would say, he was like trying to emulate them. And it really took me out of a lot of his promos. But when I see Ricky Starks, I see a guy with natural charisma. I mean, are there certain similarities? I guess maybe there could be. But believe me, I don't think anybody is watching Ricky Starks and pretending or thinking, oh, you know, this guy's The Rock or this guy's trying. He's trying to be The Rock. I don't see it that way. I don't think he's trying to be anybody. I don't think he's doing any one thing that he needs to stop doing that I can see. So I would disagree on that.
I know. I mean, he has a good wrestling style. I'm not saying that he wrestles like The Rock or anything like that.
Yeah, but
it's just sometimes when I see, you know, like his hair and everything, and
well, I mean,
with a similar double entendre names like the Stroke Daddy, things like that. I was just a little concerned because I don't ever want something like that, you know, that's similar to him to be something people would on the outside say, well, he's trying to be like The Rock, you know.
Yeah, look, you know, you never want to be compared to The Rock because that's just a death sentence. Nobody can be The Rock. I feel sorry for the people who get compared to The Rock. But the whole Stroke Daddy thing, I never really got that. I actually, when he was using that name in NWA, it was the only thing I didn't like. I just thought it was a stupid name. And I guess in AEW, I don't know that they're letting him use it. I could just picture some TNT executives say, like, what does this guy call himself? Like, not on our network. So now he has some kind of... Oh, I forgot his new nickname. It's a different nickname. It's a more basic nickname. But I never got the whole Stroke Daddy thing. It just sounded pretty goofy to me. So I'm actually kind of glad he dropped it.
Yeah, I did have something else I want to ask you too, Jason. I do like your insight on these things. With Chris Jericho, he's still performing at a pretty high level. And what is it, like 49 or 50? I was wondering, do you think, even though he's performing at a, you know, relatively high level, that maybe he should kind of fall in the same category as a Ric Flair and, you know, take more opportunities to do the honors for the younger wrestlers, you know, so that the other wrestlers can have the opportunities that he's been afforded to have these 30-plus years? But do you think he should kind of stay the course he's on right now until it seems he needs to do more of that?
Well, he's worked matches with some of the younger guys. He worked with Orange Cassidy. He's going to work with him again. He's worked with Jungle Boy, Scorpio Sky. That, you know, when he worked with those guys, it wasn't the right time for him to lose. And he beat Cassidy a couple weeks ago. If they're going to have a rematch, my guess would be that Orange Cassidy is going to win. But I think... No, actually, I think Jericho, you stay the course with him. I don't think Jericho should be losing very many matches, especially if they're still... It sounds like they still want to try to build to this Mike Tyson thing. I don't know if it's ever going to happen or not. But Jericho is a guy who has been more forgiving, I think, in his career than maybe he should be. And I'm going back to even his WWE days, where I think he probably lost more than he should have. I kind of compare him in that way to The Rock. The Rock was this huge star. So when The Rock would lose to somebody, if it really meant something, he could really put them over. But The Rock, more than Stone Cold, it's like night and day. Stone Cold almost never lost, right? Especially clean. I feel like Rock and Jericho and some of these guys were maybe a little more liberal than they should have been with kind of letting people get one over on them. If I'm Jericho, if I'm in AEW, I'm protecting him as much as I can. Let him work with the younger guys. Let him make the guys look good. Get a win on him every now and then. But no, you got to keep him strong. You start beating him all the time, all of a sudden he's not going to feel special anymore. So the Orange Cassidy rematch will be interesting. I would think Cassidy would win. If he beats him twice, then that really doesn't do Orange Cassidy any favors. Because I didn't want to see Cassidy win the first match. I thought it was one and done. Jericho's going to beat him. He moves on. Now they're going to do a rematch. You're going to beat Orange Cassidy twice. Seems to me like he's probably going to pick up the win in the rematch.
Yeah, that's right. Because, yeah, when I thought about that, when I was listening to you deliver that, that's true. Because I think it's good for him to have an even balance. That way it doesn't seem like he's always being beat, because that does take some of the luster off of him. And then if he's also giving, like you said, he was overly giving in WWE, then, you know, it does take a little bit of a luster off. So, yeah, that is a great perspective. Yeah.
No, that's a good question, though. But listen, these were good insights. I'm going to let you go. But call back in the future, and we'll talk some more.
All right. I have one last thing I want to say to you. It is good that you're getting a new cable service, because the cable service you had before was definitely going into business for itself.
Oh, yes. Not only am I getting a new cable service, this will probably be the last stream I do. Jesus Christ, we have a fly in here. This will probably be the last service I do, stream I do, on this internet service. So it's going to be very interesting next week when I have gigabit internet, if it works the way that it's supposed to work. Because my upload and download on this new gigabit package that I'm getting is supposed to be unbelievable. So I'm hoping it'll make the streaming experience, at least on my end, even better. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. They're coming on Monday. I cannot wait to just kiss cable goodbye. I'm gonna punt kick them the way that Randy Orton punt kicked the Big Show in the head on Monday night. I'm going to punt kick these guys out of this freaking place once and for all. Cut the cord. I am done. I am finished. They're coming to do the install on Monday. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Let's see here. Let's go to 347. We'll take a few more. 347.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Khaled.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I was going to say I'm a great fan of your show. It's my first time calling in. I wanted to know, Deonna Purrazzo, she became the new Knockouts champion last Saturday at the pay-per-view.
Yes.
I want to know, do you think AEW missed the ball on not signing her?
Yeah, I mean, I think their division could use somebody like her, for sure. Yeah, I think she never really got a fair shake in WWE. AEW could use a few more female faces right now. So, yeah, their loss is Impact's gain.
Yeah, I mean, because Impact was trending worldwide Saturday. I don't watch Impact much. I like to watch AEW every Wednesday night, followed by this live stream. But I feel they missed the ball on that, and the Good Brothers, because I think they had heat because they decided to re-sign with WWE last year instead of going to AEW when the contract was up. But
yeah, AEW didn't need them right now. I mean, there was a time and a place for that, but right now, you know, they got FTR recently, and it just wasn't the right time for it. But I think someone like Deonna Purrazzo, yeah, for sure, she could have been a big help to them on their roster. But it looks like they're trying to make some moves right now. Ivelisse and Diamante, and I don't know where Abaddon is. I'm waiting for Abaddon to show up. Maybe they're going to put Abaddon in one of these weird tag teams in this tournament. Who would you pair Abaddon up with? I don't know. I feel like Abaddon and Britt Baker would actually be kind of funny, but I guess Britt's not going to be ready in time. I could just picture Britt Baker coming out, freaking out, as Abaddon slithers into the ring. Get her away from me. What is that? Make an appointment with my office. You need some work, like that kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know where Abaddon is, but maybe we'll see here in the tag team tournament. Let me play catch up here with these super chats, which are still open, by the way, if you want to send any in. Amari Johnson, AEW starts 3 years earlier. What might be different? 3 years earlier would be 2017. Well, I mean, what would be different? I don't know. I mean, that's a loaded question. I still think they probably, if they got a chance on TNT and they did well, that was still during a period where the big TV rights contracts were nice and fat and juicy, and they'd probably get a lot of money. You know, if there was there'd be more wrestling fans back then. I feel like there's fewer fans now than there were then. So, if anything, maybe they would have been in a stronger position. I feel like the world is just a different place even 3 years ago. It's almost like night and day in some ways. Let's see here. Zold TV just sending some love to the stream from the Bronx. And Paul Hamilton was with the $50 drop earlier, so my thanks to Paul. Hulkling93, I got respect for both Sean and Brett, but you know how it is to be a fan of second best, being a Mets fan instead of a Yankees fan. Well, there you go. See, that's a pretty sick burn. You got me there. I hope you feel better. I have no retort. You got me. Ugh. You got me. Magician, but again, Brett's better than Sean. Magician Sapphire with the $10. Business is about to pick up now that Sammy is back. Oz and Glorious, thank you for being a friend. Dry chicken without flavor. Naomi, Liv Morgan, and Ruby Riott would be a perfect fit to the AEW women's roster. And Miroa. AEW can now do a blood and guts match even without the involvement of the Elite. Don't you agree? They could, if they wanted to. But I feel like you've got to build up an issue first, right? You can't just have one for the sake of having one. There was a feud at the time. And they built up this feud with the Elite and the Inner Circle, and it kind of made sense. So instead, they did a stadium stampede. That's what we got, a double or nothing. Instead of doing blood and guts, we got the stadium stampede. if they have Blood and Guts in March, I don't believe there is a stadium stampede. Well, I mean, obviously there's no stadium stampede. They'd be in Vegas. They would not have been in Florida. So the whole, everything changes. Everything changes, were it not for this whole situation. I would wait. There's no rush. You don't have to do Blood and Guts now. You could wait a little bit. And Dry Chicken, I'm still predicting a Jericho-Tyson match at Double or Nothing 3. Mike Tyson needs more time to get in wrestling shape. Well, Mike Tyson is not going to wrestle. Mike Tyson is not going to wrestle. All he has to do is a few moves, a few punches, shadow boxing, maybe a body slam. What do you think he's going to be doing? Ranas? Topes? Here's the Excalibur with Mike Tyson diving through the ropes. Tope Suicida! I sound like Josh Matthews now. I don't want to sound like that. That's awful. And, yeah, Mike Tyson is not a wrestler. Mike Tyson, if he trains, gets in ring shape, that's one thing. He's not training to be a wrestler. He's not going to learn the Gogo Plata, and he's not going to learn all these different holds and moves. Kimura Lock. That's not what you use Mike Tyson for. All right, I think we might possibly have the birthday boy on the line. Is this the birthday boy?
What is up, Salad Monster? How are we doing tonight?
It is. We have Rican Son on the line. It is his birthday, and my question to you is, I could sing the, I don't want to sing the song, but my question is, how old are you now?
24.
24. Boy, I remember what it was like to be 24. It's a good age.
I feel old, though.
Well, if you're old, then what does that make me?
Legendary.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer.
You're welcome.
So what's going on?
Real quick, shout out to Rob Bates. Shout out to Rob Bates. It was his daughter's birthday, just like me yesterday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to her.
I'll say this. It was honestly probably like the best show from AEW since the show in Atlanta with the cage match.
Probably, yeah. I mean, there have been some good shows. I'm not saying that the show's been bad, but this one just had a different vibe to it. Like, everything was just, you know, moving along, firing. And like I said, I mean, I really enjoyed the False Count Anywhere match the most. But I like just the focus on new faces and all the stories that moved along. And, yeah, I was really impressed with this show. I mean, the results in the Twitter poll so far reflect it, and they deserve it. They deserve a high score this week.
And it should happen soon. I don't know why it hasn't, but Butcher and the Blade should be tag team champions. They're super underrated.
Their day might come, but right now it's not the time. I mean, right now you got that story with the Bucks and with FTR and Omega and Hangman and the Butcher and the Blade. They got to start winning matches first, right? They got to win. Otherwise, you're not going to get a title shot. But now is just not the time for it. Look, they got a lot of teams in AEW. You've got Santana and Ortiz, right? You've got the Lucha Bros. You've got teams that we don't even see necessarily on Dynamite. They may only be on Dark. I mean, they've got the Best Friends. They already had their shot. Dark Order, who gives a shit? But they've got a lot of teams.
Yeah.
You know, Butcher and Blade have to work their way up first. But tonight was a good first step.
I know you said earlier for my Taz question about like not bringing in too many legends, but what would you think about Bret Hart being the manager for FTR?
Oh, that's an interesting. Okay, well, hey, that's interesting. Bret Hart is the manager for FTR. I'm sure FTR would love it. I mean, please, they'd be doing backflips. Are you kidding me? I don't like it. I'll tell you why I don't like it. I don't like it because I don't think it's a great role for Bret. I think Bret is just him coming out now. And, you know, one of the strengths, for example, of someone like Taz is still an incredible promo. Brian Cage doesn't have to say a word. Taz can come out. He's like an Eddie Kingston, right? There's a certain, he's got that New York attitude, but there's just a genuine, like, this guy's gonna rip my head off. Like, he's got that badass vibe to him. And then you have somebody like an Arn Anderson who doesn't really say much. I mean, he'll do interviews backstage after the show and all that. He's a legend, obviously. He's like the coach, right? What does Bret bring to the table? Bret is a big name. He's a big star, but like, he's not gonna come out there and cut great promos for FTR. FTR doesn't need him.
If he's bitter about it, if he's just mad at everyone, he can.
Well, it's like that one YouTube video, Bret Hart buries the world. I don't know how many of you have seen that. Look it up on YouTube. It's actually quite funny. Yeah, maybe that's his gimmick. Bret Hart comes out and just buries everybody every single week. That could work. But I don't know. Bret in the managerial role, you know, I don't see it. I don't see it. And I love Bret, but I just don't think it's the right role for him, honestly. So I wouldn't go down that road.
And then, you know, just one last question, because I know we got more callers and it's late. Is it a good idea if, like, they sign Kingston and put him with the Inner Circle since he was with Santana Ortiz and Impact as LAX? Like, have one more smack talk New Yorker?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to do it, they should be their own group. I wouldn't just put him in the Inner Circle.
Yeah.
I think you could have a group like that. It would be like an LAX-type faction, I guess. But you can have Kingston and you can have Santana and Ortiz. And again, maybe Diamante and kind of put them together. But to just put him in the Inner Circle, no, it just doesn't. It's not a good fit.
No problem. Again, thank you for the phone call. Love the chat. Thank you for the birthday shout out to everyone. Whoever is drinking, cheers, and everyone have a good night.
Awesome. Again, happy birthday. We got Reconsent in the chat every week, and he's dropping super chats, and he's always supporting, so I wanted to make sure I got him on and wished him a happy birthday. He's 24 years old, and he doesn't sound a day over 12. So again, happy birthday to Reconsent. Let's go to I think this is the state of Texas, I believe. 956?
Yeah, hi. This is Jerry from Texas.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, hey, I was just catching up on Dynamite. I've missed a few episodes. But this episode I noticed that there's a lot of factions. I mean, you've got FTR, you've got the Inner Circle, and you got the Jurassic Express. You think there is a little too much focus on the factions that might be holding back some people? Like, for example, Luchasaurus, who used to be like the most over wrestler on the roster, and now he's kind of fallen like to the wayside.
I wouldn't say fallen to the wayside. There's a lot of guys who are getting big reactions from the crowd, who the crowd loved. And because there's no crowds now, they don't feel as special. And I would put him in that same category with Darby. I would put Darby in that category with Hangman. Still big names, still popular, you know, baby faces, but it's just very different when you don't have that reaction to feed off of. Like, their music hits, and everybody loses their minds, right? And it just makes them feel like such a big star. And now that's been taken away. And so what do you got? You got a guy in a dinosaur mask who, you know, comes out every week, and, you know, he's in tag matches. I guess the thing is, like, he doesn't do a lot in singles. He could still do tag, but also do more, you know, in the singles ranks. Hey, maybe you do something with him and Lance Archer and get two big guys in the ring together. Lance Archer can beat up all the jabrones in the back that he wants to. And then one day he tries to pull a stunt like that with Marco Stunt or Jungle Boy. And in steps Luchasaurus and says, hey, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? And then, boom, you've got a match. Yeah, you could do something like that. But I think a big part of it is just the lack of fans, man. It's just, you know, these guys don't feel as special. They were getting these big reactions, and then it just got taken away from them. And for their sake, I think more than anybody else, they need to get people back. They have to hope that they can get people back sooner rather than later, because perception is everything. And when you walk out and get the kind of reaction Darby got at Revolution back in February, or the kind of reaction that Hangman was getting on TV every week, you are perceived to be a giant star. And how could anybody come across as any kind of real big star when you're in this, you know, empty building environment? It's a little bit better in AEW just because they have more people out there, and I don't know if the open air has anything to do with it, but it's tough. You know, it's tough. And I think Luchasaurus is one of those people who suffered because of it.
Yeah, I would say so, pretty much. And just one last question before I let you go. I know you might have touched on this before, but you've talked about the value of the titles and the most prestigious titles, and you've said the IWGP is the highest, and I would agree as well. But what do you think AEW title represents in regards to the WWE title? Because when I look at Jon Moxley as AEW champion, I think his reign now reminds me a lot of his original reign as WWE champion until AJ took it off of him back in the day. And I'm just wondering, like, does him holding the title kind of rub off with his older reigns? Like, does it remind you of that too much? Or is that just me?
It does remind me of that a little bit. His reign as WWE champion was fairly uneventful from what I can remember. And that first run didn't last more than a few months, I think. Because if I remember, he cashed in Money in the Bank. So that would have been June, maybe. I think June or July. And then I think by September he lost it. Yeah, I mean, in some ways it reminds me of that. And I do blame the situation for a lot of it, because it goes to what I was just saying. You know, there's Moxley's another one who is coming out and getting a rock star reaction. He'd come through the crowd, Shield style. So you get that visual of him coming through the audience, coming through the fans. You've taken that away. So that and their plans being disrupted, which is what led to the Brody Lee match, Brody Lee being the opponent at Double or Nothing, which I'm sure was a weaker match than whatever the match was originally that he was going to be in. All of these things have worked against him. His reign feels very underwhelming. And I don't lay all of that blame. I mean, he gets part of the blame, but I don't lay all that blame on him. So, yeah, I could see that. I think there's some definite comparisons between the two. We got Rob Bass. I definitely look forward to your show every Wednesday. Everyone in the chat is awesome. Shout out to my essential jock-ass brethren, Turtlehead and Reekonson. And Yukio Rules, Brandon Cutler and Peter Avalon for tag team champions. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. They'd be a team maybe in like the opening round of my tournament that I would bounce, possibly. We're going to go all the way around the world now. I believe we're going all the way to
Hello?
Saudi Arabia.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I don't know if you remember, but I'm the guy who you had agreement with about the sign.
Yes. Well, you called in, didn't you? You called into the stream a number of weeks ago, I believe, right?
I think last 2 months ago.
Yes. Yes. Now.
Sorry about that. I have been a bit busy, but I'm good now.
Well, tell me, because I think it's probably pretty early where you are, right? What time is it where you are right now?
Oh, 7:01.
So it's 7:08. So it's 7 o'clock. So it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So tell me, how are you doing, man? It's been a while since I talked to you.
Well, I'm good. Let me ask you, if you watched, were you able to watch any wrestling at all? I guess I guess it would have been morning where you are, or did you not get a chance to see any of it?
Oh, you mean AEW?
Yeah, AEW.
Honestly, I didn't watch it because we don't have we can't watch it here in Saudi, you know?
Oh, okay.
We don't have the TV rights. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I watch they brought Raw and SmackDown to YouTube, so I watched just Raw and SmackDown. Even NXT, I can watch, you know?
Man, that's, I feel bad for you. You're limited only to Raw and SmackDown. Poor guy, man. I have a lot of sympathy for you.
Yeah, man. That's why I love like watching your live streams and keeping me with these shows, NXT and AEW.
Well, that's cool. Hey, look, I'm here as long as you keep listening. I'm here. So, but it's always good to hear from you. Anything you wanted to mention here while I got you on?
Yeah, I just have like a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. If they are not related to AEW, is that okay?
Sure.
This is in general, but in the last 10 years, what was your, like, unexpected return that made you go, holy shit, like, you didn't expect it at all, there were no rumors or anything? Give me some of them, if you can.
Boy, no rumors. I was going to say Edge, and then you said no rumors. I heard those. I guess Edge, I had heard some rumors, but it wasn't really much. I wasn't really thinking that. Okay.
He kept denying it.
So I would say that's the one I think of, because that was pretty surprising, all things considered, to see him show up. You know, he was gone for almost 10 years. That's a long time.
So but with the rumors, we didn't know it, but I wouldn't be surprised, like, when I nearly cried, but my one is Brock Lesnar in 2011.
Oh, 2012.
I don't remember.
No, it was 2012, because I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at that show. So, yeah, that was actually, and I had heard.
Oh, you were into the show.
Yeah, I was there. That was in Miami, because that was my first WrestleMania I ever went to live. I mean, I had watched, you know, all the WrestleManias, obviously, but my first one was 28, which was the first Rock Cena match. And so the next night, I was sick as a dog, too. I wasn't even sure if I was going to make it to the show. I thought I was going to have to sleep in the hotel. So I said, you know what? I paid for my ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta go to the show. And so I went, and I was miserable.
There were rumors of him coming, or no rumors?
No, there were.
I don't remember.
There were rumors of him coming, and I was
I was
half expecting him to be there. But I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah.
But still, when he came, when his music hit, everybody went bonkers.
Oh, man. That was awesome for you, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other question is, since we are, like, talking about Bret Hart, you are talking about Bret Hart in this stream, what was, like, your reaction when they did that role promo in 2005, I think?
Oh, the Shawn Michaels one.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I remember watching that live, actually, and I bought into it. So when he started, so I remember that when Shawn was in the ring, because I remember this was a week before SummerSlam. So actually, this might have been the go home show. This was 6 days before SummerSlam. And he was facing Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam that Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came out, and actually, wait, no, maybe I have that wrong. I could be wrong about this. Hold on a second.
Yeah, it was like the build-up to Hulk Hogan.
Okay,
so
yes,
Michael.
Okay,
yeah.
So I am right. I am right, okay. So he starts talking about Brett. And I said to myself, wait a minute, why is he talking so much about Brett if Brett... Yeah, because they have to know people are going to think Brett's there. Why would they let him talk about Brett? And then he made a comment during the promo.
Yeah.
He says, if Brett the Hitman Hart had any guts, and you can hear people in the crowd, like in the background, go, he's here. Because he was talking like you thought Brett's music was going to hit at any given moment, and here he comes, right? And so they hit the music.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it with my brother, and they hit the music, and I just go, oh, like, I'm all excited, right? Because now I think, okay, they convinced Brett to show up. He's going to just make an appearance.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll beat the hell out of Shawn. He'll come from behind. I don't know. And then he doesn't come out, and I realize very quickly, okay, I see what's going on here. So, yeah, they got me. They had me going there for a second. I thought maybe they had reached some kind of a deal, and... from what I can remember, they tried to call Brett that day because they wanted to... I think they wanted to try to get him there, but I think when they realized they weren't going to get him, they tried to call him to just give him a heads up, like, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play your music. I don't think Brett got the call, so I don't think he was very happy.
Told him that we will troll the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were. I think they were trying to give him a heads up, and I don't think they connected with him. So when he found out about it, I don't think he knew they were going to do that. So I don't think he was very happy with it. But anyway, so yeah, the point is they got me because I thought he was coming out and he didn't, and I was kind of pissed. So.
Okay, just want to give you an update about the whole situation with the sign.
Sure.
So this is just a rumor here in Saudi. So the rumor is they will do the show in the beginning of 2021. So no shows this year.
I figured that was kind of the case, that maybe they would be shooting for like January or February, maybe. Well, I mean, January is usually Rumble.
Exactly.
Yeah, January is the Rumble, so maybe February. Well, they did a show in February of this year, right? That was the one where Goldberg won the Universal title from The Fiend, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, look.
So, it depends.
I mean, what's the situation where you are as far as the whole virus and stuff? I mean, are things on lockdown or are things better there than they are? I mean, I'm sure they must be better where you are than they are here in this country.
Yeah, it's a little bit better, yeah.
Okay. Well, look, so I mean, if that's the case, then they might be able to go back early next year. I mean, they're not going to go back if they can't have fans in the building.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, any suggest of you, like, what we can put in the signs?
For those who don't know, he mentioned to me the next time that there's a Saudi show, he's going to bring like a Sala Monster sign. So I don't know. I mean, I would think, the most basic thing probably is like the name of the show, like the full name of the, like Sala Monster Sounds Off. But I always tell people, I say, if you're going to bring a sign, right? First of all, I tell everybody, if you get your sign on TV at these shows, man, you let me know like in advance that you're bringing it. And if I see it on TV, man, I'll shout you out. Like no problem. Right. But I tell people, because sometimes they'll bring a sign, it's like a white, it's like a giant white sign, and they'll use like a thin black marker, and you can't even see it. And I said, look, if you want to get your sign visible, like on TV, you got to use like you see the graphics on the screen right now, that green, it's like that neon green, like you got to use a bright green or a bright yellow and like giant letters, and that's how you get your sign like seen on TV. So I would just say,
and get people attention. Yeah,
right. That's exactly what you got to do. You got to make that sign stand out, because there's going to be people everywhere that have little signs, black and white, like, you know, my sign is blocking the guy behind me or some stupid stuff like that. So you got to do something to make it stand out more. So yeah, just put the name of the show on there and make it like really bold and bright, and then we'll see it on TV.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, man, no worries. So just want to, thank you for taking my call, man.
Sure.
And stay safe. And it really means a lot to me that we can still talk, because I have been a long fan of the show.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad you're able to call in and that we can interact like this. It's a lot of fun. So you'll have to call back again soon, okay?
Yeah, I will try to call you back. Thank you, man.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Take care. Always love getting calls from all around the world. Yeah, so it looks like they're going to be back in Saudi early next year. I'm sure they're ready to go back. I mean, they've got a certain number of shows under their contract that they have to do. So probably early 2021. I guess it'll be Crown Jewel, or what's the other name they were using? Crown Jewel Super Showdown is the other one. So, yeah. But hey, anywhere. It doesn't just have to be in Saudi. Anywhere. You get that Sala Monster sign on TV, man. I get a nice screen cap of that. I'll shout you out until the cows come home. I love that stuff. All right, Jared, what's going on?
Shawn Michaels, that was the Monday after, with Hogan, after SummerSlam, where he thought Brett was going to be there, and Brett didn't come out, and that's where he started the feud with Chris Masters.
No, I believe. No, it was the week before.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was the week.
Okay, I thought the week before was... It was
the week before, because I remember being confused, like, are they going to have Brett come to SummerSlam and be like a referee or something? Like, why are they doing this 6 days before SummerSlam? And then after SummerSlam was over, when he came out the next night, Shawn was back to being a babyface, and he was whining and bitching about Hogan out-politicking him. Boo-hoo. He got beaten at his own game. Too bad. And then Chris Masters came out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I got a little confused.
Bitch
yeah.
that he is. All anyway, right. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, and I know and, it was awesome. You started an internet war earlier today. You know.
Look, all I did was retweet. I didn't say anything. I said nothing. All I did.
I didn't say it worked you, man. Hey, I didn't say it worked you.
I said nothing.
I agree 100%.
I said nothing, and boy,
100%.
Were people hot and bothered by that. It was unbelievable. I was getting a kick out of it because I couldn't believe how upset they were getting. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to put in my Twitter bio. I see these like reporters sometimes. It's like retweets do not equal endorsements or something like that. I'm going to have to put like a disclaimer in there or something because people just lost their minds.
Now this leading into probably 3-4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon when the ratings come out, that could have kept me occupied. You know, I always think to myself on a weekly, daily basis. I wish Jason would. I know you're a very busy dude, but I always wish you would tweet more sometimes because you're very entertaining when you tweet. Like for instance, today, that just took over my day. I went back and checked, and just, these people
took over your day.
It's unbelievable.
Took over my whole timeline.
But hey, great show tonight, Eddie Kingston. The FTR infiltrating the Elite and then breaking them up is going to be and having Kenny turn heel is going to be that's where I see that going.
Hey, it looks like we might get the cleaner back. I guess we'll see who makes the turn. Is it him or is it Hangman? I'm thinking it's going to be Kenny. The way things are kind of playing out now, I'm thinking it might be Kenny.
No, and I agree. I think the Bucks and the Butcher and the Blade, that was their best tag match, the Butcher and the Blade, since they've been since October.
Easily.
Yeah, definitely. So I really didn't have much to say tonight, Jason, but the thing with the Bret Hart thing, that just got me. And, hey, we all know who's number one in our hearts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Sean's great and everything. Sean, great. Probably the best actor in a ring, probably the best physical athlete in a ring ever, but...
Yeah, look, he's the best strip poker player ever in the history of Raw. Yeah, absolutely. There's no shame in that.
Yeah. Nothing at all. So,
no, not at all.
You have a good night, man, and yeah. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
Bye.
All right, take care. Nothing wrong with being the best strip poker player. Nothing wrong with being the best talk show host, right? Heartbreak Hotel. Bret Hart never had a talk show. See, that's one leg up that Sean had on Bret. Bret never had a talk show. What would Bret have called his talk show? What would Bret... Shawn Michaels had the Heartbreak Hotel. Bret Hart called himself the Hitman, right? When I think of Hitman, I think of somebody like on a roof with like a sniper rifle. Some, I don't know what you would call that, but the perch... Bret Hart is hosting The Perch. See, it doesn't work. Sean was a better talk show host than Bret. See, I just paid him a great compliment. People can get off my back. Let's take another couple calls here. Wish I can get to everybody. But I will get, speaking of Bret, I will get to somebody who believe is a Canadian. I believe.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on?
I have a question. Do you think it was a missed opportunity for WWE at Extreme Rules to do a segment where they would bring out Joey Ryan to show us all what their real horror show looks like?
Yeah, I don't think that would be a good idea.
Oops.
I think that would be a bad idea. I think WWE also, should be very thankful, actually, that they've never done business with Joey Ryan. The belief, like a couple of years ago... is that they offered him a spot as, a trainer or something in NXT. So, boy, did they dodge a bullet. I'll just say that.
I wanted to say, Tony Khan, he posted a tweet talking about how he wants to find female talent all across, you know, the wrestling, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though Tully doesn't have a lot of pulley in trying to get his daughter into the company. What about Kelly Klein? We haven't really heard much about her ever since her kind of fallout with Ring of Honor. I know her ex-husband, Blowjob Whitmer, works there, but do you think that disqualifies her for for an opportunity at All Elite Wrestling?
Well, I don't know if it qualifies her. You know, I think it's she's probably someone who you can give a look to. Kelly Klein didn't exactly light the world on fire in Ring of Honor. So I think she deserves an opportunity. You know, maybe like a tryout match or something on Dark. But I've never seen Kelly Klein have the kind of matches, for example, I saw Ivelisse have, or even Tessa. And there's a million reasons why AEW should probably stay away from her. But, you know, yeah, I can give her a look. But, I don't really look at her as being an overly dynamic performer. So, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, that's an AEW call. I wouldn't be banging her door down, but does she deserve a look? Yeah, I mean, look, she was the champion of Ring of Honor, and I think she at least deserves, a look to see if it's what they're looking for. And 646.
Hey, what's going on, Solomon? It's your boy, JC Zephyr. What's up, man?
Hey, JC, what's going on?
Oh, not much, man. Just enjoying Wednesday with you guys and all that stuff, and I did enjoy Dynamite tonight. That Balls Count Anywhere match was fun to watch. That super kick did remind me of when Taker Tombstone Triple H on the escalator. He went down the escalator after taking that one.
I do remember that. Shotgun Saturday Night. Do remember that.
Yeah, that was the name. I was thinking of WWF New York or something like that. I don't know why I thought that. But, I wanted to ask you a question. So with all this talk, a speculation of who's going to turn heel, and it's between Cody, Kenny, and Hangman, I have to ask you, which of those three could benefit the most from being a heel?
Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega. I would say fair Kenny.
Enough. Fair enough. I mean, we've seen some of that last week, so I'm looking forward to see how far this goes. So, honestly, personally, I did like him as a heel in New Japan when he was the cleaner in Bullet Club, and that's kind of what sparked a lot of interest in him. So to see him on American television as a heel, I think that would be awesome too. I mean, even though I think Hangman would be great too, but and Cody is as well. I mean, we've seen some little bit of that in his promos a few weeks ago. So who knows? I mean, if Kenny becomes a heel and does all that stuff, I'd be on board with that.
Yeah, it could end up being both. It could be Cody and it could be Kenny, and Hangman just kind of stays the way he is. I mean, again, they have a lot of options. I like the fact that they kind of have everybody guessing. We don't really know which direction they're going to go in. It could be all of them. It could be some of them. It could be one of them. It could be none of them. We just don't know.
It's only better than what WWE can do, being predictable and all that stuff.
Well, WWE could do great. I mean, they could do whatever they want. It's just that they don't.
That's another thing.
They've got the talent. They've got the tools at their disposal, and they just don't use them. That's the problem there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, hence what we saw Sunday. Well, I did see it, thankfully. So, I just wanted to ask that question and just say what's up to everybody, and hope to talk to you again.
Awesome. We'll call back and we'll try to get you back on. We had some suggestions here. People answered my question. What would a Bret Hart talk show segment have been back in the day? Had the funeral parlor. We had the... What was DiBiase's one? DiBiase had one too, I thought. Oh, gosh. Anyway, we had Piper's Pit. We had the Heartbreak Hotel. MVP has the VIP lounge. So let's see here. Marcus says, Sniper's Nest. I could see them having an issue with that. Steven says, The Hitman's Tales. Khalid says, The Brett Show. Steven says, Bulletproof. Maybe. Getting warm. Let's see if there's any other ones here. The Vantage Point. Michael says, The Vantage Point. That's not bad. That's actually a pretty good... I like that. The Vantage Point with Brett. That's a good one. I think that one could have worked. So, yeah, that's the best one I've seen yet. That is the best one that I have seen yet. Dried Chicken. Love your review on Gallows and Anderson's interview. Yeah, if you missed it, I did a whole recap and plus my thoughts on the Gallows and Anderson interview. which went through their WWE time, their release, the heat that was there with the Bucks for a while in AEW, and the plane fiasco in Saudi Arabia last year. So like a two-hour interview, I kind of condensed it down, gave my thoughts, 45-minute video. It's up on the YouTube channel right now. I clipped it from Sunday's show. It's got over 20, I think like 20,000 views. So if you missed it, you can just go back here on the channel and give it a listen. And lastly here, I think I've gotten to the end of the Super Chats. Rican Sun, Kelly or Topanga? Oh, man. Probably Topanga. I would say probably Topanga. Although Kelly Kapowski was, I mean, I think if you were of a certain age back then and you watched Saved by the Bell, everybody had a crush. You know who I had a crush on, actually? Kelly was gorgeous. She was a beautiful girl. The one who I thought was probably the pretty, like, not even low-key prettiest, but like the prettiest and didn't get as much attention because Kelly was like, you know, she was like the queen bee in school. But Lisa Turtle, Lark Voorhees, what a name. She was beautiful. And you know, she was the one that Screech wanted, and, you know, you had Jesse and you had Kelly, and they're great and all, but I had a thing for Lisa. Oh, my goodness. Now you're taking me back to my my younger years. All right, let me just show you guys where we're at with these polls before we wrap up here. AEW, 83 up. That's 17 down. That is an excellent score. NXT with a very good score itself. Not as good, but a very good score. 65 up, 34.7% thumbs down. You can vote. These polls will be open for another 24 hours plus at Solomonster. Tweet me. Let your voices be heard. I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight for the stream. This has been fun, as it is every single Wednesday. Hopefully you guys will come on back. We have a lot of new subscribers here on the channel, so I'd like to see you come back every Wednesday when we recap Dynamite, and of course every month with all the pay-per-views. I'm going to be doing SummerSlam, and there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming up here the remainder of the summer, and we have more Super Chats coming in. Boy, you guys are crazy. Yukio Rules. I might be jumping the gun here. They're not popping up on screen yet. But Yukio Rules, I enjoyed your rant about how WWE messed up DDP. Yeah, that was another one from last week. I did a whole segment. Somebody asked me a mailbag question, and I just laid it all out, where WWE went wrong with Diamond Dallas Page in WWE, and how they should have used him. What the best way was to use a guy who, when he came in, I think was 45 years old. You don't take your time. You just kind of go right into the one real big money feud I think they had with him, which I lay it all out in the video. It's up on the YouTube channel if you missed it. I'm not going to rehash it here. And Dry Chicken Without Flavor, The Oddities, The Godwins, Right to Censor, The Job Squad, Pick One Faction to Resurrect, and The Others Stay Dead. Well, if those are the options, I would just like for all of them to stay dead. The Oddities were fun, but like, Golg is dead. The Godwins, no. Right to Censor, I didn't like. The Job Squad, I guess the Job Squad, I don't know. I don't need any of them. I don't have a use for any of them. And Reconson, thought it was DDP when Kingston started talking. Thank you, everyone, for the birthday wishes. And thank you for everything that you do. DDP answering the open challenge. I mean, he's friendly with Cody. DDP coming out to answer the open challenge would have been very interesting. I'm glad it wasn't him, though. And Malcolm Brown, more impactful career. Matt Hardy or Jeff Hardy? Well, you use the word impactful, and that makes it a little tougher to answer. You know what? I'm going to say, of the more impactful career, I think it's got to be Matt Hardy. I just think his influence, you know, when we all look back at their careers, Jeff was the bigger star. He went farther in WWE. He was the WWE champion. He went through a period there in the late 2000s where he was the hottest thing in wrestling. And then Jeff Hardy did what Jeff Hardy always did back then. He crashed and burned. and he squandered what could have been an even longer, bigger run for himself. But Matt was never, like at Jeff's peak, Matt Hardy's stardom never met that same level. But Matt has always been credited as being the one who was the most creative. Like, he could one day be a producer or a booker, like all the people who knew him and remember the Omega days and all that. But the universe that he created, that whole broken universe that he created, is so creative. And Jeff was part of it, but it was the mind of Matt that really made that whole thing happen. And he parlayed that into a whole new career for himself. He arguably prolonged his career with the whole broken universe and broken Matt and the stuff he did in Impact. If you don't think that the final deletion in those matches were not emulated in WWE and didn't have an influence elsewhere in wrestling, then you're not paying attention. WWE, when they did the House of Horrors thing years ago at Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, that was their answer to the final deletion. It absolutely was. And now we get these cinematic matches, and there are people in the companies who will credit and say, you know, thanks to Matt Hardy's vision, he was the first one to really do a truly cinematic match. So when you ask me who had the more impactful career or influential career, the answer is Matt. You know, Jeff may have been the bigger star, but the answer is Matt. It's a good question. I think we're all caught up now. It's a good question to end on here. So thank you to Malcolm for that. All right, guys, I think it's late enough. I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you again for joining me tonight. Join me for episode 662 of The Sound Off this Sunday. That'll be dropping on all the usual podcast platforms that you see on your screen. Actually, you don't see them on your screen. Now you do. All those little icons you see down there. We're on Pandora. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart. All of the different... If one doesn't work for you, I guarantee it'll work on another one. So you will always be connected, no matter what. Even if you're having download issues on one, you will always be connected to The Sound Off. And join me right back here. Next week is a big week. It's a certain anniversary. I'll talk more about it next week. But it's a special one for me, so... I'll get into that next week. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic rest of the week. And again, I will see you back here for more Dynamite Live here on YouTube next Wednesday. Until then, take care, guys.